Welcome, number three. So yesterday, we concluded by discussing what exactly is the view of the Rama, the conceptual basis for the view of the Rama, whose makel for pas akum even makom shepas Yisrael matzui. On the tzad that they were matir, pas akum. What exactly were they matir? So, the distinction between pas palter and pas Yisrael appears both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, though in slightly different contexts. In the Bavli, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, afilu leman de amar palter ove kochavim, lo amran el deleka palter Yisrael. That said that Rabbi was matir, so that is pas palter, b'makom deleka pas palter Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu leman de amar palter akum hani milosad of irlo. So, the Ran is Mesupak. What exactly, how do we understand the machlokes between Rabbi Chelbo and Rabbi Yochanan? And he presents three possibilities. Possibility number one is that Rabbi, again, what did Rabbi Chelbo said? Only Palter. Lo amran ela de leka palter Yisrael. And Rabbi Yoch, that was Rabbi Chelbo, and Rabbi Yochanan said the difference between Sade and Ir. So one possibility is, and presumably we would pass him like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Chelbo, to the extent that there's a debate. So the first possibility that the Ran says is Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with Rabbi, is adding an additional restriction on top of Rabbi Chelbo. So what would that mean? That you need Tarti ulechumra. You need both Sadeh and also Leka Palter Yisrael. Right? So Rabbi Chelbo said only if Leka Palter Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan says still only Basadeh. And unless you had these two factors, A, Leka Palter Yisrael, B, Basadeh, that's the only time it's going to be mutter. And this is the view of the Rambam. Possibility two is Rabbi Yochanan is making an independent statement, not related to Rabbi Chelbo, in which case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only factor that's relevant is Sadeh versus Ir. Rabbi Yochanan is simply saying that Besadeh it's mutter, and there's no basis for any leniency but Ir, but no further distinction is made. And then the third possibility is we could take both kulas. This is a view of the Rashba. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, or Lamaisa will say, that Sade is always mutter. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's adding, and he agrees, potentially, to Rabbi Chelbo, that Be'ir, b'makom shaleka palter Yisrael, is also mutter. And that's, as I said, is the view of the Rashba. So, this is a machlokes rishonim. Again, Lamaisa, the middle view, I don't think the Ran associates with any particular name, but, so according to the first view, which is the Rambam, you need both Sade and Leka Palter Yisrael. According to the Rashba, Sade is always okay, and Be'ir is mutter b'makom de Leka Palter Yisrael. What about Pas Balabayas? So, we refer to Palter, but the actual official distinction between Palter Yisrael, Pas Palter versus Pas Balabayas is not in the Bavli, but it appears in Yerushalmi. And the Rambam writes unequivocally that there's never any heter for pas balabais. The only tzad that there's any type of kula is with respect to pas palter, the pas of a breaker. This is what the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Yud Beis, that aval pas balibatim ein sham misha mor balahakel. Even though there are those that are mor lahakel for pas palter, if there's lack of palter Yisrael. There is nobody who is makel for pas balabayas. And why is that? It's not just a random distinction, but the distinction relates to the very reason, the very basis for this gzeira, because the Rambam writes, Sheikara gzeira misham chasnos, vim yochal pas balibatim, yavo liso detzlan. We'll see this as well in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel and elsewhere, the Rambam maintains that the primary concern is Shema Yavo Lisod Etzlan. It's in the context of a Seuda that Chasnus is most pervasive. And therefore, when it's Pas Balibatim, so then there's a much greater concern, Shema Yavo Lisod Etzlan. If it's just Pas Palter, so it's much less. So while Chazal still made the Gzeira, but they rescinded the Gzeira, or they were more makel if it was B'shas Adchak, but Pas Balabayis is Li'olam Aser. Rashba also writes that Pas Dafka were makel for Pas Palter, not Pas Balabayis, based on the Gemara in the Bavli that doesn't mention, that keeps on mentioning Palter, and also the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says explicitly, Uvilvad Mina Palter. And again, if you look at the Tur, it says that a slightly different reason when explaining the Rashba for the leniency, which is that when it comes to a palter, there's not so much cure of hadas, mipnesha be'umnaso hu osek. A slightly different type of distinction, but the same idea. There's not going to be chasnus, because when you're interacting with the palter, it's a professional interaction, and therefore the concern for chasnus is reduced. How do you define a palter? So the Beis Yosef explains, a palter doesn't strictly follow his profession, but rather it relates to the context. So someone who makes bread to sell, so that bread has the status of pas palter, and if you make bread for yourself or your family, then it has the status of pas balabayas. So if a professional baker makes bread for his family, that would actually have the status of pas balabayas. And if a balabayas decides to try to make a little extra income and start selling their bread, it would have the status of pas palter. And the reason for this is simple, because the concerns, whether it's Shema Yavo Lisod Etzlo or Kir of Das, are going to be determined based off of the question of the context in which he's selling and not his profession, his technical profession. So the question is, how do we paskin? And here it's a little bit tricky, because in Sif Beis, the Mechaber quotes a Lashon of the Rambam, and the impression that you get is that there's no heter at all for pas baal habayis. However, in Sif Ches, he quotes a Yesh Omrim that's mekel b'makom shaleka palter Yisrael klal. So there you get the impression. The Rambam would not agree to that. The Rambam would not say that if there's leka palter Yisrael klal, you could be mekel and pas baal habayis. So you could say, these are two opinions. Sif Beis is the Rambam, and Sif Ches is a Yesh Omrim, though it's a little shver, because then you would expect them to be cited together. In Sif Ches, let him say, you know, cite the Rambam's view, there's no heter for pas balabais at all. The Yesh Omrim, that it's mutter b'makom she'leka palter pas palter klal. So we'll return to this when we get to Sif Ches. There also seems to be a stira within the view of the Ramah. On the one hand, again, in Sif Beis, he writes that the minhag is to be mekel for pas palter, even when it's matzoi. L'chora, that heter, as we noted yesterday, is based off of the idea that if the gzera was not nispashe to a particular makom, it doesn't need to be permitted in that place. If you assume that is the pshat in the leniency of the Ramah, then that leniency should even apply to pas palter, right? Because the gzera was not nispashe to this place, and therefore it doesn't need to be revoked. That's why it's mutter even when pas yisra, when pas palter is matzoi, pas yisrael is matzoi, because there's no such iser in the first place. Well, if the iser was never chal here in the first place, then it should also come out that what? That it's mutter for pas balabayas, because there's no iser. Yet, at the same time, the Ramah seems to maintain that we're machmir for pas balabais. We already noted this contradiction yesterday, that if you learn the pshat in the Ramah, like that the Ramah paskins like the Rush, and this is the way the Shach understands the Rush as being lenient, so then it should apply even to pas balabais. And we have a question how to understand the Ramah's view. It seems like it's a bit of a stira. So one potential yishuv can be found in the Gra. The Gra is miyashev based off of the Girsan Yerushalmi that's found in some Rishonim. It's among them the Or Zeruah. You have this in your source packets. And the Yerushalmi, according to this Girsa, says like this, Makom shepas Yisrael mitzuya bedinu shetepas gayim asura v'imimu'ala v'tiruha. Here, so I'll just read you the Gra. So Yerushalmi Shem Perkam Shabbos Perkam Pesachim V'via Rif Kan Pas Reb Yaakov B'Shem Reb Yochanan Pas Mehilchos Shel Imam Hu Dibimakom Shepas Yisrael Mitzuya Bedin Hu Shete Pas Ovdei Kochavim Aser V'imimu Ala V'tirua Mepnei Chai Nefesh Rabbanan De Kesari B'Shem Reb Yaakov K'divrei HaMatir Uvilvad Minapalter. So they were matir, but they were only matir, bilvad min apalter. So according to this Girsa and Yerushalmi, the Ramah's pshat is basically straightforward Yerushalmi. So there's a little bit of stira, unclear which Girsa the Rush had in the Yerushalmi. Take a look at the Mefarshim on the Rush, you'll know the problem there. But Bekitzer, what do we have here? So again, the way the Shach basically didn't understand the view of the Ramah. He said, if the Ramah's Mako, even b'makom she pas Yisrael matzui for pas palter, he should have also been Mako for pas palabayas. The Gra says that the pshat in the Ramah is based off of a different Girsan Yerushalmi. If you look at the Mati Onasan, he explains that the Ramah is based off of a type of a pshara, that he's mitzarif two different shitos, and therefore only willing to be makil for pas palter. It's a difficult pshat, so those are the different ways to learn the Rambam. So halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin for pas akum? So the Mechaber seems to say that one should... He quotes the Rambam, who's totally machmir, but then he writes that in Sif Beis, that there are mekilim when yesh mekomo she mekilim bedavar velokhin pas hanachtom. So pas palter, b'makom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael mipnei shasadchak. So it sounds like Sfardim should be machmir, at the very least, if there is pas Yisrael matzui. And the only heter that might be appropriate is based off of the shasadchak. You'll notice that even though this is only cited in Sif Beis as Yesh Mekomo Shemekilin, but more or less for the rest of the Sif, he keeps on telling you various halachos that are premised off of these Mekilim in Sif Beis. So while he's not Machria, how to follow, also in Or Chaim, he's not Machria, but he keeps on telling you the halachos, what would you say if you're among the Mekilim? Like when he says, if a certain type of red is Arev Lo. So again, according to these Mekilim, it's Mutter, and so on and so forth. In terms of Ashkenazim, let's finish it. So, as we noted, the Ramah seems to say that you could be Mekel for Pas Palter, even if it's Pas Yisrael Matzoi. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Tess that maybe, even though that's the view of the Ramah, it's not so pasha to be Mekel. Many Rishonim are Machmir, and therefore he is Nota to be Machmir, recommends being Machmir, even if Pas Yisrael, in any case that Pas Yisrael is Matzoi. We should note that even if you do decide to follow the Machmirim, that would only be if, as we'll see from the end of this, if it's available within a mil out of your way, 4 mil in your way, which we'll discuss later on, a discussion, what is a mil? Is a mil defined by distance or time. In other words, is it the, if you drive, so some a place that you'll get to in 18 minutes, or does it mean it's how, you know, a kilometer basically away, out of your way? What it would take to walk in a mill. One of the interesting, and again, as we said also, that's only assuming that there's pas that you like that's equally good. We'll get to these details later. But we should note that one can go ahead and try to be machmir, say, I'm basically going to follow the view of the shach, but still lots of times buy and rely on pas palter. Because let's imagine like this. Let's imagine that you want to go shopping in ShopRite. Okay, ShopRite doesn't have Pas Yisrael, at least for sliced bread. They might have challah, but that's not what you want. So they have, you want sliced sandwich bread. They don't have that in Pas Yisrael. Good. So you could, you, so I, but there's a bakery. But if you're not planning to go to the bakery, right? So now, to go, it's more than a kilometer away. It's more than a mil away. And even if you're going to go bus or the time, to go ahead and make an extra stop, drive 8 minutes and park and go in and buy it and leave, I don't know, the whole thing, and drive back. So a little less clear, but it could be. Could be, you could argue that that whole enterprise would be okay because it's more than a mil. And therefore, we'll talk about later on whether the Rashba's kula applies to price as well. So what would come out is that if you're going shopping in in Evergreen, so then there's plenty of Pas Yisrael that's available of all varieties and the like, and then you may as well be machmir. You may as well, they probably also have Pas Palter that's Pas Hakam, but you may as well get the Pas Yisrael because it's easy and not substantially, not really very different in price or quality or the like. But when you're not going shopping there, you're going shopping in a in ShopRite, and to go make an extra trip to a kosher bakery or the like, which you wouldn't otherwise do, so then to be machmir, to be mako, not because after all, then it doesn't fulfill the requirements. Yeah.
How does the Mechaber define
I assume, is there a bakery where you live that sells Pas Yisrael?
In the exact year that you live?
If it's in a different city, so if the that's what we have later on, that if it's more than a mil out of your way, so then that would be Eino Matsui. Okay, fine. So, Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel is a very interesting question. And that is, do we follow the makom afia or the makom mechira in terms of defining bread as pas palter or pas balabais? And this is a dispute between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. The Rashba writes in the Taurus Abayis that pas akom is defined by the place where it's initially created, where it's baked. And therefore, let's say a balabais baked bread and somehow or another made its way to a palter, and now the palter is selling it, it would still be usser. Why? Because when it was made, it was defined. This is pas balabais. It was usser at that point. At that point, if you would have gone to that balabais and gotten that bread, it would be usser for you to eat that bread. And it doesn't make sense that bread that was once usser now all of a sudden changes its status and becomes mutter. And likewise, the reverse. If you have pas balabais, and let's say pas palter, and let's say a non-Jew goes into the bakery and buys this pas palter, and now gives it or sells it to a Jew, so that's going to be mutter. And even though you are buying it from a balabais nachri, but again, since at the time that it was made, it was mutter. This is a chefta shel heter, so it doesn't make sense that something that's a chefta shel heter should all of a sudden magically turn iser just because it was transferred from the balabais, from the palter to the balabais. That's the view of the Rashba. The Ra'ah disagrees, and he says, no, we focus on the point of interaction between the Nachri and the Yehudi. So therefore, if it was originally made by Balabais, but then let's say the Palter somehow acquired it and now is selling it to a Jew, it would be mutter. And the reverse, if it was originally made by a Palter, but a Balabais bought it and then sold it or gave it to a Jew, it would be usser. And the logic is very simple. The logic of the Ra'ah is that, what are we concerned about? Shema Yisod Etzlo, or Kir of Hadas. And when it comes to Balabais, there's more Kir of Hadas. So what we care about is not its original location, its original location or venue at the point that it was manufactured. What's really relevant is the interaction that you have with the seller. And therefore, if the interaction with the seller is with the Balabais, then it should be Aser. And if the interaction that you have with the seller is with the Palter, it should be Mutter. If we go Basar the Tam, basically, the Tam to be Mechalik between Balabais and Palter, then it all makes a lot of sense. So what does the Rashba think? The Rashba said, no, that you're right. Maybe in Svara that makes sense. But when we're dealing with Esurim, and this is a chefza shel eser, it's true, it's an iser derabanan, but it's a chefza shel eser, so we define it. If it's pas balabayitz, it's a chefza shel eser, and it will remain aser, and there's no reason why it should become mutter just because it changed hands. And moreover, if it was a chefza shel heter, then it's heter. You can't make up a new iser. There's no reason it should become aser. So if it was made by a palter, even though a balabayitz picked it up and now sold it or gave it to a Jew, there's no reason why it should all of a sudden become usher. Maybe the reason is relevant here, but we don't say every time the reason is relevant, it needs to be, it needs to follow the parameters of the law. And in fact, the Rashba asks on the Ra'ah in the Mishmer Sabayas. Just for those of you who are starting learning Yoredeya, so the Rashba wrote a sefer called Torah Sabayas, which is a halachic sefer. It's not like his commentaries on the Gemara, which follows Seder Adaf. It's a halacha sefer. The Ra'ah wrote hasagos on those, on the Torah Sabayis, called the Bedek Habayis. And that's a critique where he disagreed with the Rashba on many issues. And then the Rashba responded to those critiques in the Mishmer Sabayis. However, he wrote it anonymously. So it's sometimes a little confusing because he keeps on saying things like, the Mechaber, this is what he meant to say. So the Mechaber really means himself. But because he wrote it anonymously, so he refers to himself as the Mechaber. Okay, so that's what the Mishmer Sabayis. So in the Mishmer Sabayis, the Rashba responds to the Ra'ah. He said, this whole thing is going to lead to a joke. According to the Ra'ah, you could be Mati or Pas Balabayis in the following way. Let's say you have a Balabayis, a non-Jew, Balabais, Mamish Pas Balabais, and he gives this bread to a Jew, right? So what's the halacha? It's aser. But now that Jew gives it to another Jew. So what's going to be the halacha? It should be mutter again. Because according to the Rashba, according to the Ra'ah, the second interaction is going to define the status, the latest interaction, and therefore it should be mutter. And so you could go ahead and basically be mati or all Pas Balabais by simply transferring it to another Jew. And if so, the whole thing is a joke. That's the Rashba's kash. And therefore he says, no, the only logical conclusion is to say that the Isser is Chal and the Cheftza, and whatever the Cheftza is, if the Cheftza shall pass Balabayas, then it remains pass Balabayas forever. And if it's pass Palter, then it should remain pass Palter forever. Now the Ritva, who is a Talmud of the Ra'ah, as well as of the Rashba, is Miyashev, the Ra'ah. We don't usually get back responses from the Ra'ah post Mishmer Sabayis, but in this case, his Talmud, the Ritva's Miyashev, and he says, no, really, if you look carefully in the Bedek Habayis, in the Ra'ah would not have been Matir under such circumstances, because the moment that we care about for the Ra'ah is the point of interaction when it goes from the Nachri to the Yisrael, the point of Mechira from Nachri to Yisrael. And therefore, in the case that the Mishmer Sabayis asks about, where Pas Balabayis was given from a Nachri to a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael transferred it again to another Yisrael, even the Ra'ah would agree it's Isser. Its status is Nikba at the point of transfer from non-Jew to Jew, and then it retains that status subsequently, even according to the Ra'ah. So there's a very obvious reason for that, because the interaction between the non-Jew and the Jew is what we're concerned about with respect to Kiruv Hadas. So therefore, that status is what remains li'olam. So it turns out then, Lamaisa, that there's a chumra in the Ra'ah, and a kula in the Ra'ah, and a chumra in the Rashba, and a kula in the Rashba. Right? Just to say it out. The chumra of the Ra'ah is if it was palter balabayas Yisrael, it would be mutter. Sorry, it would be Aser, and according to the Rashba, it would be Mutter, right? So again, Palter Nachri, Balabayas Nachri to Yisrael, Rashba would say Mutter, Ra'ah would say Aser, and the reverse case, Balabayas Nachri, Palter Nachri, Yisrael, so the Rashba would say it's Aser, and the Ra'ah would say it's Mutter. But the Ra'ah agrees in the case of Balabayas, Yisrael, in both cases, because there was a chshash chasnas when it transferred from the Nachri to the Yisrael, everybody would agree it's Aser. Ah. Now, one could argue that the Ra'ah is l'shitaso in another thing, he says. The Ra'ah holds, the Beis Yosef, by the way, you'll notice it's a little incomplete here, and the Taz and the Shachar Mashlim, the Beis Yosef, for whatever reason, didn't seem to have the Ra'ah, and the Mishmer Sabayas. He had the Tor Sabayas Aruch. The Tor, if you notice, only has the Tor Sabayas HaKatzer, not the Aruch. And so sometimes the Beis Yosef will say, the reason why the Tor said this is because he didn't have the whole Rashba. Tor Sabayas HaKatzer was written by the Rashba, but it's the cliff notes. So sometimes things there are a little less complete. Sometimes there seem to be contradictions, which is a different issue. So the Rashba, the Beis Yosef had more than that. He had the Tor Sabayas Aruch, but he still didn't have the Ra'ah, or the Mishmeres Habayis. The Ra'ah, though, you'll see, though, the Beis Yosef does have other sources to a number of the Psakim of the Ra'ah, like from the Orach Chaim, and this is quoted by the Beis Yosef. The Ra'ah says that if there's pas berevach, so you shouldn't eat pas balabayis, but if it's finished, nigmar, there, so you started off, and there was lots of pas palter around, so now pas balabayis is aser, it ran out. So the Ra'ah says, yetze chutz l'ir, and then you could eat it. Right? That's what the Ra'ah says. So the Rashba would say that doesn't make any sense, because since this is a chefsa shel iser, going out of the city can't be matir it. It's not exactly the same. You might have said this is different because you're in a different place. But look over the Pashup Shad is the Ra'ah's l'shitaso here as well. That we follow. It's more, we'll talk about as we go on a little later if we want to go this far. But one way to understand this machlokas, this is the way Rabbi Ganak, he has a number of pieces in the Sefer Gan Shoshanim on the Pasakim and Bishul Akam. So Rav Ganak wanted to say this is a machlokas, whether basically this is a Nisar Heftzer or Nisar Gavra. The Rashba thought it's a Nisar Heftzer, and therefore the status is initially determined by its at the moment of production and remains forever. It's a din in chefza, and the Ra'ah says it's a din in agavra, and therefore, again, we're not going to care much about its moment of initial inception, but whether practically there's a concern or there's not a concern. Certainly, if you look at it that way, then the two Ra'ahs are going to be l'shitaso. Now,
this wouldn't work with the Ritva's understanding of the Ra'ah.
It's a little harder to work with the Ritva's understanding. You could still argue that it is, but then you'd need a more complex framework but I think you could still work.
Can you use this model as a Rashba and the Ra'ah to figure out the Hagdaras from Sif Beis? I mean, according to Rashba, it would be Mikvah Gishah Safiyah, the definition of Palter versus Balabais.
In terms of which point?
Meaning the Hagdara of what a Palter is. I mean, according to the Rashba, it was Nikvah B'Shas HaFiyah, can't be changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we paskin? So this is also tricky. In Sif Gimel, if we're right that these two dinim of the Ra'ah are L'shitaso, then there's a stira. Because Sif Gimel, he paskins like the Ra. Yesh misha omer she'im palter his min Yisrael hare pito kipas ba'al habayis. So what does that sound like? That sounds like the Ra, right? Okay, fine. But the Mechaber in Siv Zion did not paskin like the Ra. What do we say in Siv Zion? Like the Rashba. Pas Baal Abayis, Asur Aliola, Afilu Kana Paltar Mimenu, Afilu Shalcha Yisrael Aveso, V'chein Afilu Shalcha Oso Yisrael Acher, Asur Aliola, and Shal Paltar is Muteris Liola, Afilu Kana Baal Abayis Mimenu, Shalahochu Bisar Ze Acher Misha Pas Biado, Achshav, Ela Achar Mi Shahayalo Bishasafia. So there seems to be a stira. So how could we be miyashim? So one possibility is that Sif Gimel is talking about where the palter baked it in his house, or Litzorach Beso. And therefore it has the status of Pas Baal Abayis. And that's the stomach when he's invites guests. Right? What do we say again in Sif Gimel? Yesh Misha Omer, Shem Palter Hizmin Yisrael, Hare Pito Kipas Baal Abayis. That's not because of the din of the Ra'ah, that we look at the moment of interaction. That's because if the palter invites you over to his house, so what does he serve you? He doesn't like just bring stuff home from the bakery and give it to you. No, you're his guest. He'll make you special homemade bread or special bread for that. And then there's no stira, because in Siv Gimel it's Aser Al, it's Pas Baal Abayis, and in Siv Zion he's Makel straight like the Rashba. And that's more or less the answer that could be found in the Nekuda Sakasef on Sif Gimel. From the Beis Yosef, though, it doesn't really sound that way. The Nekuda Sakasef is written by the Shach. It's a Shach's comments that were written after the publication of the Taz, added later. Sometimes they're also written by the Shach's son, and you'll be able to tell because there'll be some type of notation saying that. So that's the Nekuda Sakasef's Yishuv. The Shach himself in Sif Katan Yud Beis has two additional answers. His first answer is that Sif Gimel is going according to the Ra'ah, and it's Lo Aliba Dehochasa, and that's why the Mechaber wrote Sif Gimel is a Lashon of Yesh Misha Omer. In other words, the Yesh Misha Omer, that is the view of the Ra'ah, but I don't actually follow that way. And if you understand Sif Zion, which is not written as a Yesh Omer, you'll recognize that. Now again, that's a little bit Dochak, because that assumes a very sophisticated audience to be able to put together Siv Gimel and Siv Zion and recognize that, though it should be noted that the Mechaber did expect everyone to read the Beis Yosef. The Mechaber writes that if you want to learn Shulchan Aruch, you can't just learn Shulchan Aruch, you have to learn Beis Yosef, which is good that all of you are learning the Beis Yosef. He says, so why did I write the Shulchan Aruch anyway if you have to read the Beis Yosef? He says, look, L'maisa, it's hard to chazer the whole Beis Yosef every month. So the Shulchan Aruch, you could chazer every month. Al arba chalkei Shulchan Aruch. And then the Beis Yosef, you'll just be chazering once a year. So that way, you'll always have everything and the chudadim beficha. So I don't know if anyone that actually follows that particular advice. A lot of times the advice that Mechabrim give in their hakdamos as to how you're supposed to use their sefer is not the way that people in actuality use the sefer. but the Beis Yosef was writing with the assumption that you have learned the Beis Yosef. So that's the first yeshiva of the Shach. The second yeshiva of the Shach is that the Mechaber fundamentally paskins like the Rashba, but he's also holds with the Ra'ah in the case of his Mino, because it's Gara Tfei. Now, the Shach doesn't explain the reason, but one way to understand it is based off of the Rambam that we said. The Rambam writes that all of these Isurim are really Atu Shema Yasmin Etzlo, right? For example, the rules of Bishalakum are permitted in the case of Einu Roi L'Shulchan Malachim. Why? Because people aren't mazmin their friends to a meal without chasha food. And likewise, the Rambam said, why is Pas Baal Abayis Aser Shema Yasmin Lisod Etzlo? So everything is Aser Atu Shema Yasmin Lisod Etzlo. So here we have a situation where it's his mino lesod etzlo. So of course it's going to be aser. And therefore, even though fundamentally we follow the Rashba, that the status is determined at the moment of production, and therefore you should have really said this is mutter because of pas palter. But it makes sense that in the case where the palter akum was hismin, the Yisrael, we can't be makel in that case. The whole basis of all the Yisr is atu that case. So to be makel in that case would be impossible. So those are the two ways, or the three ways, I should say, to be miyashev, the stira and the mechaber. Okay, turning to Sif Dalet. The kasha of the shach and Sifkat and Yud Gimel is because he had a different girs than the mechaber, as Nekudas HaKesef points out. So if that confused you, it's only because of the girs issue. Now, I'll just read it quickly. Makom she'en palter Yisrael matzui ledas hamatirin likach pas mi palter gai im higia sham palter Yisrael hare pas palter asura ad shiyim kor palter Yisrael pito ula'acha shakala pas Yisrael chozer pito shel gai lehachshero. So the mechaber is only machmir when the pas is still in the possession of the palter gai. Meaning to say, let's imagine in the city there's two bakeries. There's, what's the name of that bakery on 187th Street? Griolis or something like that. Okay, so there's Griolis and there's Shmulis. So now, as long as Shmulis has bread, obviously you're not allowed to go to Griolis. If Shmulis runs out of bread, so then you're allowed to go to Griolis. So now, the Mechaber doesn't mean to be machmir, that let's say there wasn't enough, Shmuli ran out. So I went to Griolis, and then before I had a chance to eat the bread I bought from Griolis, Shmuli got a new shipment in. So all of a sudden the bread that I have, you know, the sandwich I was about to bite into, it becomes usser? No, of course not. The bread which you already have bought Bishas Heter from Griolis remains a mutter. But bread that you haven't yet bought, that's still in Griolis, you're about to enter Griolis bakery and you get a text from Shmuli, ah, I got in a new shipment. So then you can't go to Griolis anymore. You have to go down the block or up to Fort Washington. And I don't know if that's a mill. It depends how you measure the steps.
This is my fourth year local master comes in bread.
Is it telemislakate? So then you'd have to go up to Shmuli's to buy your bread. Fine. Now, the truth is that the Rashba and the Mishmer Sabayis would disagree even with this. In other words, in the Mishmer Sabayis he holds that it doesn't make sense that the same actual bread that was once mutter will become usser. In other words, this halacha makes a lot of sense for the Ra'ah, because the point is that in a certain sense its status of isser v'heter has not yet been determined. When is it determined? At the point that you buy it. So therefore, if I bought it from Griolis, and at that time, at the point of purchase, Shmuli didn't have any bread, so this is pashal heter, and I'm allowed to eat it, and it remains mutter. But I'm about to walk into Griolis, and I get the text from Shmuli, he has more bread. So now, if I buy that bread, it's going to be usser. But the Rashba and the Mishmer Sabayis says, no, we always look at the moment of creation. And therefore, if when Mr. Grioli baked this bread, Shmuli didn't have any bread, so this is Pashal Heter. And therefore, I could buy it from Mr. Grioli even after Shmuli has restocked. Now again, you could argue, therefore, that based off of the psak of the mechaber in Sif Zion, you could be mako even in Sif Dalet. Or to put it a little differently, Sif Dalet is like Sif Gimel, that soser Sif Zion. Therefore, the Pri Chadash, for example, disagrees with the mechaber on Sif Dalet. He paskins like the Rashba. not actually for the reason because he thinks that the Rashba Svar makes sense, actually for a different reason. The Rashba would say because it's a din of the Cheftza. The Prichadash says because it's Kechucha V'Tlula, which is a Svar that the Rashba also says. That this bread should go from the status of Isser to Heter, So what do we say? So then, this is going to go back to the answers that we said to be Miyashev Sif Gimel with Sif Zion. How to Paskin for Sif Dalet. For example, if you learn, like the first answer in the Shach, that really the Iker Psak of the Mechaber is like the Rashban Sif Zion, and Sif Gimel is really a Yesh Omrim, so then we should also view Sif Dalet as a Yesh Omrim, and we should Paskin Lahakel against Sif Dalet. Though that's not so pashut, because Sif Dalet was not presented as a Yesh Omrim. It was a straight halacha. Bishlama to say that for Sif Gimel, so then maybe that's reasonable, because he cited it as a Yesh Misha Omer. Maybe, therefore, you would want to be machalik that Sif Dalet is different, because it's not such a chucha v'tlula, because we do look at the moment of Kinyan from the guy. And even though the Rashba himself would not have said that, it's conceivable to say like Sif Dalet within the Rashba's view. Right? You could say it, and logically. The Rashba takes the Svar of Adin and the Chetza ad hasof, and therefore the Rashba himself would disagree with Sif Dalet. And it's possible that the Psak of the Mchaber is because he didn't have this Rashba. Like we noted, that the Beis Yosef didn't have the Rashba and Mishmeres Abayis. And therefore, based off of the logic given by the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis, it's possible to agree to Sif Dalet, though again, the Rashba himself doesn't actually say that. To put it a little differently,
Is there even, meaning this, in terms of the Svara, you could really say that the Heter here of Matzoi or Eno Matzoi has nothing to do with whether this passes the status of past Palter or past.
Exactly. So that's a question. Do you look at, maybe the Rashba was saying whether this has a status of pas palter or pas balabais, that's fixed. But whether it's mutter usser, that could be changed. And that's exactly the svara to be mechalik and sif dalet. Or to put it a little differently, maybe the Rashba would agree, let's say that you bought pas balabais in a city, or somehow you acquired pas balabais in the city, and now you went out of town, and there's no pas available, so maybe that would also be okay, because you're out of town. It's not that this changed from pas balabais to pas palter, pas palter to pas balabais, but rather your status of being permitted in pas palter and pas balabais has changed. So that's exactly what I meant, that the svara of, you could hold like the Rashba in terms of the first question, and still hold of Sif Dalet. It just happens to be that the Rashba doesn't say that. So that's the question. Okay, Sif Hei, so the Rashba writes in Tarsa Bias that even if there is a Palter Yisrael, if the Palter Yisrael's bread is not the type of bread that you want, not the type of quality that you want, the Jewish bakery doesn't make such nice bread, and a non-Jewish bakery makes nicer bread, so then you could get it from the palter, shel nachri, because that's your preference. And the reason is cited in the Beis Yosef is, since daito nocha yoser bepas palter, because if it's chashivos beinav, that's like pasta chukalo. It's like pasta chukalo. This is a raya that my children are right and I'm wrong. Why? Sometimes we have supper, and one of my kids will say, there's nothing to eat. So I'll say, what do you mean? Look, there's chicken and rice and string beans. So I'll say, yeah, but I don't like chicken. I don't like rice and I don't like string beans. So there's nothing to eat. So I always tell them, there's plenty to eat, you just don't like it. So the Rashba is basically saying they're right. it's true, there's Pas Yisrael that's a rye bread. I don't like rye bread. I like white bread. And the kosher bakeries don't sell any white bread because, of course, Jews only eat kosher rye. So you could say, there's no bread available in this town. I could go to Key Food and buy the Pas Palter. It's basically what the Rashi was saying. So my kids, Be'etzem, have a very good time against me. They could say, if it's not food I like, they could, there's nothing to eat. So the Tur disagrees with this Rashba, and he says, no, I'm right, not my kids. After all, the Yerushalmi says that if there's no Pas Yisrael Matzoi, then it's Mutter, but there is Pas Yisrael Matzoi. And the fact that you happen to not like this type of bread because you're a Feinschmecker, okay, that doesn't mean it's not Pas Yisrael Matzoi. And that's the argument of the Tur. However, the Mechaber disagreed. He thinks the Rashba is right. He paskins like the Rashba Lahakel. Rav Moshe points out in the Yerodea Beis Lamed Gimel that the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring the opinion of the Tur as a Yesh Omrim shows that we utterly reject the Tur. And as I said, my kids are right, not me. Now, Lamaisa, the Tur has a good ha'ara on the Rashba, which is, how could you say there's no bread available? There's plenty of bread available. So, what this, I think, shows is, you know, sometimes we say something is mutter b'shas adchak. Like, b'shas adchak, at least for Nisad Rabbanan, you could be somech on a das yachid. So, for that, you need a real dchak. And the fact that you like white bread and not rye bread, I don't think would qualify as a shas hadchak to say something like b'shas hadchak you can be somech on a das yachid. The pshat that the Rashba is saying is that over here they were oker the iser in a situation where it's ein pas Yisrael matzoi, and therefore because of your preference we could categorize this as ein pas Yisrael matzoi. So as we pointed out, depending on how you read the Shach back in Sif Aleph, this heter may or may not apply during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Now, what about if it's cheaper? Ad Kan, we said that it's mutter to be mako if you like the Pas Palter bread better or it's higher quality. What about if it's just cheaper? You don't mind, the bakery bread from the Yisrael is perfectly good, but you know, if you want to buy a loaf of bread, it's $2.99. And if you go to ShopRite and you buy those bags of bread, they're 99 cents. So, would we say in that case that just that it's equivalent to Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi? Because you definitely have a strong preference. My preference to for 99 cents versus $2.99 is far greater than my preference to white bread over rye bread. I'm willing to like sacrifice and have rye bread, but I don't know, three times the price. So how would we treat that situation? Could we be makel based off of the Rashba? So this is a machlokas among the contemporary poskim, the Chalkas Binyamin, in Sif Katan Mem Vav and Nun Aleph is Machmir, and the logic I think is as follows. The logic is that what we said before for the Rashba, which is that it's not that we're Mekel over here because of the Dochak Be'etzem. There's not that much of a Dochak to eat rye bread even if you prefer white bread. It's because we could classify this as Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi. And therefore, if there is Pas Yisrael Matzoi, it's just more expensive, then we can't qualify this as Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi. For example, you would go ahead and buy the bread for $2.99 if there wasn't cheaper bread, right? If they didn't have the 99 cents bread, if all there was bakery bread, and the bakeries all charge $2.99 for a loaf, so you'd buy the $2.99 loaf. So you can't say, oh, this is Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi. It is Matzoi. And the fact that you could buy Pas Palter for significantly less does not recategorize this situation as Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi. And for this kula to kick in, we need there to be a situation of Ein Pas Yisrael Matzoi. And that's the view of the Chalkas Binyamin. However, Rav Yashiv is meiko, at least if the price difference is substantial. This is quoted by Rabbi Shmuel Felder, and he understands that, no, actually, the logic makes a lot of sense. Basically, if there's only a significant difference between the Pas Yisrael and the Pas Palter, either because of the quality or because of your taste difference, or for that matter, because of the price, so then we could be Mekel. My Shna, if it's because of, you know, the difference, as I said, I'm much more willing to forego the difference in taste than the difference in price. So, therefore, this is the same heter would fundamentally apply. Okay. Sif Vav. So, there's a very unclear and ambiguous machlokas here between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber wrote, B'makom shenagu heter b'pashal palter, afilu hu nilosh b'beitzim, o shebeitzim tuchem al panav matar. So rolls, for example. Challah rolls, if you ever made challah, so after you knead and shape the dough, it's common to take eggs and spread them on top. That makes it taste a little different. It makes it look very different. So sounds like that's what we're talking about over here, a glaze made out of eggs. And the question is, we know that eggs are usually subject to bishul, and there's no heter of bishul palter. So how do you look at this? Do you look at this as bread plus eggs, in which case the bread would be mutter, but the eggs would be aser, and then they could even potentially, some degree, aser the bread because of seepage, in terms of the blios, or no? So the Mechaber seems to say, well, it depends. If we're dealing with a glaze, so then that's a small amount, and we see that as not being substantial, so we'll treat this as bread, not bread plus eggs, and it's going to be mutter. But if you have something like panadish, in panada, blaz, so then it's going to be different. That's really two separate things. That's like bread plus eggs, and therefore we would say that the bread is okay in theory, but the eggs are not, or whatever you put on top. The sauce, or the cheese, or the meat, or the fish, or the fat, or the shuman. So we'd see that as two things. And one would be aser because of bishul akum. And while the bread should theoretically be mutter because of pas palter, but since the taste and the shuman from the top is going to seep into the bottom, so practically speaking, the whole thing would be aser. That seems to be the view of the Mechaber. Then the Rama writes, Hagav yesh osrim bepas shebeitzim tuchen al panav mishum shu be'en ve'enem betelem lagabe apas v'yesh mi'em mishum bishul eov de'kochavim. So it sounds like the Rama is talking about the rolls with the glaze, the egg glaze on top, and he's saying, no, the egg glaze is distinct, it's be'en, and therefore it's not batal to the pas, and therefore it's going to be asar kazim bishalakam. So what exactly are they arguing about? So if you take a look at the Gra, Sifkat of Yadalad, he writes, V'yesh Ovsrim, Kanal, meaning to say the Rama says that the case of the rolls with the glaze are similar to the case of the panada, and therefore it is basically tuminim and not batel. V'svar Rishona, the Mechaber, who is Mekel in this case, Svirelei, Kevan She'enu El Lamare Chazusa, this glaze is really just there for mare. Why do you put the eggs on the top of the challah? Does it really taste very different? No, but you like it to look shiny. And to make challahs look shiny, so therefore you put eggs on top. But it's really just for appearances, and therefore it's lav milsa. It's not substantial, it's not important. So l'chora, the Gra understands that the Mechaber and the Rama are talking about the same situation, namely glaze. And according to the Rama, it's not batal because something that's mare v'chazusa is considered bad. And according to the Mechaber, it is. Now, it's interesting. If you look back, for the guys who were learning Yeridea last year, you'll remember from Simon Kuf Bey Siv Vav, this issue came up as well. And there was a dispute about what the status of things that were there for Chazusa was. And the Gra proved that this din that we find in Chas, that something that's there for Chazusa is not batal, is Dafka b'Yisurei Hana. Not like the Pri Chadosh over there. It's only in Yisurei Hana that we're machmir for something that's Chazusa. So therefore, L'Ora, and if you notice over here, the Gra himself was Mitzayin. He writes, Ein la'al simin kuf bei sifkat vav, for those who perhaps don't remember everything they learned last year as well. So if you follow the directions, you'll look back at that Gra, and it sounds like that according to the Gra, we should really follow the Mechaber. In other words, it sounds like the Gra is saying that the Mechaber is right here, because the idea that Davar that's for Chazusa is not Batal isn't relevant here, because this isn't Yisurei Hana. And that's why he's sending you back there. Look what I wrote over there, that the Mechaber is really right. So that's what I thought at first. But then we thought that maybe that's not true. Because the truth is, this is really very unlike the discussion over there in Simen Kuf Beis. Over there, we're talking about Dine Taroves. And the question is, if something isn't, let's say, nicker with respect to the taste, but it somehow affects the appearance, like food coloring. So let's say you used food coloring that was usser, like a red four, which comes from dried out bugs. You'll see it in a lot of products, yogurts and other things. So there might be other tzadim l'hakel, because the bugs are very dried out before they're crushed into powder and put in, but let's assume for a moment it's usser. So over there, nobody tastes the red four. Red four is used for things that are supposed to be strawberry. Like strawberry yogurts have red four in them, because they don't want to put enough strawberries in to make the yogurt red. Strawberries are expensive. You just put in a little bit of red four, much, much less than shishim. And now, looks just like strawberry yogurt. Ki'ilu. And you put in a little strawberries at the end, so you could say natural and artificial things, and you look in the ingredients and you see the strawberries, and it's, 0.01% strawberries, but you don't know because they don't tell you the percentages. And it's also 0.01% red four, and it's natural, even better. Good. So they don't even have to write artificial. Good, even better. Good. So there, you don't taste any beetle taste, but you see beetle coloring. So that's when there's a machlokas. And that's where the Gra says that you could be mekel, at least b'diavet. Over here, it's totally different. Over here, it's definitely visible and not batal in terms of dine taroves. Let's say this was an egg that was usser. You used an eagle egg to baste your challah, to glaze your challah. So it's obvious that we wouldn't say, it's enu ala l'chazusa, so you could eat the challah. We would say it's usser, so maybe we would allow you to peel off the top, and then there would be a question how far in it went, and the like, yesh ladun. But we're not going to just say, this is batel, because it's totally nicker. So this is really a different question. This is a question of whether you look at this as one min or two minim. The Mechaber says, since it's l'chazusa, we'll see it as batel, and therefore we'll see this as a single roll, and therefore it's subject to the leniencies of Pas Akum. And the Rama is saying that since it's nicker due to its being l'chazusa, it's not batel, and we have to see it as tumen. And if so... what the Rama is saying is when it's going to be be'en, because chazusa milsa, and the Mechaber is not saying chazusa lav milsahi in a sense like kuf beis. The pshat is, in the Rama, is that it's not going to be batal and allowing us to see this as a single min. So again, bekitzer, the Rama is stringent because the eggs are visible and discernible and maybe somewhat removable. Therefore, it's not batal, and mimele it's aser. The Mechaber says they are batal because it's chazus alav milsahi. And it's not obvious to me, at the very least, that the Raman Kuf Beis would paskin lahakel here as well, because this is a somewhat different type of question. Now, There are other achronim who have a different understanding of this case than the Gra does. For example, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, we're dealing here with a very thick layer of egg. It's not like the types of eggs that we based on our challahs, but something much thicker. Now, the Gra clearly doesn't learn this way because he ties it to Chazusa. One of the problems with the Aruch HaShulchan is how does he approach the Mechaber? I'll just read you a little bit. This is from Sif Chaf Aleph. You have it in your source sheets. Vida, this is where it's bolded. Shazesh, Shakasa, Rabbeinu, Aramah, Betchilas, Dvarav, Lazar, Bepasha, Beitz, Amtuchin, Alpanav. Eina kavana, Shemoshchin, Meshicha, Kolshehu, Kederech, Shadu, Moshchin, Hachalo, Sperr, Shabbos, Kodesh. Devada, Izemutter. The less Bey, Meshasha. Ella, kavana, Shetuach, Alpanav, Beitzim, Mamish. Shemartichim harbe beitzim b'machvas v'shovchin al hapas sheyesh b'zeh mamashu shel beitzim. So according to the Ramah, then there would certainly be no problem with the types of challah and rolls and the like in terms of pasakum. Most challahs are pas Yisrael anyway, so practically speaking, this is going to be okay. And typical like bread that you buy in the supermarket, I don't think has eggs glazed on top of it. So that's why, practically speaking, the shaila is usually going to be okay. But again, to summarize, there's a machlokas. Achronim, how to learn the Ramah. What would the Ramah say with like challah rolls that were baked by a palter akum? So according to the Grot, sounds like the Ramah would be machmir in that case. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ramah would certainly be makom in that case. Now, another issue that comes up in our Se'if is pas haba b'kisnin. How do we define bread with respect to the question of pas akum? So if you look at the Darkei Moshe, he quotes a machlokas about this. The Sharei Dura, this is Darkei Moshe Sifkat and Gimel. The Sharei Dura writes that when it comes to pas haba b'kisnin, like cakes and cookies, that they're not considered pas. What's the proof? We make mizonos. Anything that you make mizonos is not bread. So therefore, cookies and cake are not pas for these halachos. Now that, in fact, is a huge chumrah. Why? Because if it's not pas, then it's bichlal shlakos. And then it has to be Bishul Yisrael. So therefore, they're going to be Aser Mishum Bishul Gayim. Whereas, he quotes that the Rimi Paris is Mekel, because while it's true, you don't usually make a Hamotzi on cookies and cake. If you had enough cookies and cake, if you're a Koveya Su'uda Alev, you would make Hamotzi. What that shows you is that fundamentally it is bread. You're willing to say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz about this food. So really, cookies and cake are bread. Pas haba b'kisnin is a type of bread which you don't make a Hamotzi on if you're not Koveya Su'uda Alev. And this is something that we find in other areas of halacha as well, where halachos that relate to bread, we apply to pas haba b'kisnin. Most poskim, for example, rule that the halacha that you're not allowed to have milchiga bread applies to pas haba b'kisnin as well. There are some practical leniencies that allow us to be makel in those cases, because you don't usually have cake with meat, but in theory at least, the halacha applies. So again, the Sharei Dura says that since usually you make a mizonos, it's subject to bishul akum. The Sharei Dura is a big chumrah for our purposes. It's a kula, aseres yimei tshuva, but a chumrah for the rest of the year. And the Rimi Paris says that since you sometimes make hamotzi, that shows that they are pas, and that's going to be a kula. So how do we paskin? So we paskin that it has the status of bread, and therefore, as I said, it's a kula. So, lamashal. Let's say some of those fancy pastries that you could buy from Costco. So those fancy bakeries that you could buy from Costco. So what would the halacha be? According to the Rimi Paris, it would be mutter the whole year. Okay? Maybe you should be machmir during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. According to the Sharei Dura, which we don't paskin like, it would be aser. So So that's why you'll see a hechsher on those fancy pastries from Costco. What about Chips Ahoy cookies? So Chips Ahoy cookies are not olal shulchan malachim. So if you held like the Shari Dura, they would be mutter, because they're subject to Bishul Akum, but they're ena olal shulchan malachim. So you could even be makil during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, according to the Shari Dura, to have Chips Ahoy cookies. But as I said, we don't pass in that way. And therefore we would say they're pass, and therefore you should be machmir on Chips Ahoy cookies during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay. The Shach, Sifkata Yudchest. Do we have time for this? I guess not. Okay, we'll finish this Sif up. We just have one more point to say on the Sif. And in theory, my plan is to finish all of Pasakum tomorrow. I'm not sure my theory will actualize now that I can no longer pretend that there's no clock in this room. So it could be that Sunday we'll finish up Pasakum, but I want you all, if you can, probably, if you can, hopefully tomorrow, to start Bishul Akum, so you can see the Gemaras. There are more Gemaras when it comes to Bishul Akum than there are with respect to Pasakum, so it would be very good if you could start doing the Gemaras and Rishonim already tomorrow, so that when we start the Shulchan Aruch on Sunday or Monday, you'll be ready for that. In terms of Shir on Sunday, who here wants Shir on Sunday? Okay, it's unanimous. Good. So, Be'ezras Hashem, we just have to make a time. I guess we could do that tomorrow, but let's just, so we don't forget. How about... would you prefer to be, let's say, 11:45, and then there'll be a break for lunch before Mincha? Okay, so we'll have it 11:45. We'll have to find out. There's a good chance this room will be locked and we won't be able to have access to it. So maybe, why don't we just say Sunday we'll meet in the Ezras Nashim, in the back somewhere. Maybe the back table, because I don't know what rooms will be open Sunday, and it's hard to get anybody to open up rooms when you want them to. So, and then so Thursday we'll be here, Monday we'll be back here, but Sunday, back of the Ezra's Nashim.